anytime there's a incident like this, we should all take a moment to pause and think about what does that mean for our community? You know, what did we do to lead to this? What can we do to prevent the next one? All those things. And sometimes there's not clear answers. I think the one thing about downtown is that's so unique in our region is we have a different audience about every hour in downtown. You know, you have daytime audience, you have overnight audience, you have the weekend audience where you're getting in, you know, regional visitors, corporate travel during the week, you know, dinner audience. It's a culture and economic hub. We got to manage each hour differently. And that 2 a.m. hour, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. First of all, how are the downtown business owners, how are the downtown residents? Let's talk a little bit about them a little bit because, you know, a lot of these folks that are friends of mine and you empathize with them because I think they're constantly battling the pressure. But what do they say about this?
Yeah, you know, I think for the most part, this was something that, you know, these two individuals or a couple individuals were feuding with each other. I think if they would have found each other at, you know, West Acres or at Sweet Shots or anywhere else popular in town, it might have happened there. I think downtown, you know, we get 9,000 people every, you know, night at the bars. I think that's where they ended up happening. It wasn't, I don't think downtown incentivized it any more than any other place would. It was an unfortunate accident. So for the daytime business owners, they're feeling like, hey, don't let this one incident overnight define us. When you come downtown any given day, I mean, I operate Broadway Square as well, and there's kids every morning in the splash pad running through there. And it's busy with corporate travel every day. I think the business owners, they're all mom and pop shops. We don't have a bunch of chain stores. They're all local citizens that are hoping, hey, downtown's great. We walk through there any time of day and you'll have something fun to do. See a ton of people out on the street like nowhere else in North Dakota. It's the busiest outdoor trail in the state of North Dakota is the sidewalk on Broadway. Don't forget about that and don't let this define it. You know, calling it downtown unsafe, it's unfair in a way. Obviously there's certain things that need to be done and need to be addressed. But businesses shouldn't hold that burden.
You mentioned the number of people downtown on any given night, 9,000 to 10,000 people. I assume most of that's nightclub/bar traffic, right?
Yeah, that's just the late night. You know, on any weekend, downtown booms to about 40,000 visitors every weekend. I mean, you think about that. That's the size of the city of West Fargo. You know, if you want to talk about, you know, looking across North Dakota and how it's tough to relate to downtown. I mean, that's Jamestown plus Valley City plus Devil's Lake combined. That's what downtown turns into every weekend.
So obviously the concentration of 9,000 to 10,000 people in a short area, you know, that's different than kind of anywhere else, really, in the city when you look at places to go for a night out, right? So that in and of itself is going to bring some of that downtown where just by sheer numbers.
Yeah, and I think it's important to talk about the benefit of that, too. I mean, downtown's $1 billion in property value. You try to find that anywhere else in, you know, the city or state, you're taking up an awful lot of land area to come up with $1 billion in property value. So, you know, while it does take a unique approach, it brings a lot of value to the city without a lot of, you know, additional roads and services and things. It's in a condensed area. It's efficient and a lot of property value. But it also comes with the challenges of having density when it comes to, you know, crime or commerce or culture. All those things together take a unique approach.
So 9,000 to 10,000 people at night. How about the, you know, middle of the afternoon? You're obviously tracking those numbers. What are the highs and lows?
Yeah, I mean, in an annual basis, we get over 5 million visitors to downtown Fargo from about 600,000 different people. And so, I mean, downtown Fargo is the front door for our whole region. When people come here to visit, to work, they usually come to downtown first, right? They don't go to a suburb first. They come downtown first. So it's so important that downtown remains a vibrant area. That's how we attract our workforce. That's how we attract investors from outside. That's, you know, your celebrities that you have on your radio show. They're staying downtown right now.
Yeah, and they want a photo in front of the theater, and you bring somebody to town, you definitely drive them through. I had a Colorado guy here not long ago was doing some work up in Grand Forks with some UAS space, and, you know, hey, can I come to Fargo? Would you show me around? Boom, you start downtown. But back to the numbers for a second. So if there's 9,000 to 10,000 a night, what's there at lunch? What's there at supper? What's there on the workday?
Yeah, when you look at our lunchtime traffic, I should pull out the numbers. I don't have the exact number of lunchtime traffic, but, you know, it becomes, you know, like a county fair almost, you know, out there every single day. You know, restaurants, I think we have like 57 restaurants downtown. So you can imagine enough to keep those busy and open. That's thousands of people every day at lunch that are walking to and from where they're going.
The transient population, there's been a long debate about how to handle it. Is it getting better? But the city needs to do more, Rocky?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, the city, the state, I don't think it's just a city issue as the caller called. said, Fargo's a mecca, right? It's a regional hub. It's a regional hub for everything. It's also a regional hub for services and homelessness as well. And so we all need to do more. I think the state tried to step up, and some funding didn't get passed. Maybe it wasn't the right solution. But I know Governor Armstrong was in town yesterday talking about this issue as well. And his family has obviously a long history of this type of support. And so I think there are people that want to help, and we're trying to figure out what is the right solution. And it's not a simple one solution fits all. I mean, I think I've heard so many different ideas on how to handle it, and they're probably all right to some extent. We're going to need a multi-prong approach. But I also want to just address this guy's main point here is, I don't want to shy away from it. It's, I always call it the creepy versus criminal factor. There's not a lot of crime that happens downtown. Is there some creepiness right now? Absolutely. You can walk up and down the streets and see it. I was at the city commission meeting talking about benches that, I think benches are amazing. We need more public seating. We don't need it right in front of a business door. That's not the right place for it. And so, we're advocating to move some of those benches and relocate them, because you don't need that population right in front of a business. That's not the purpose of the bench. That's not the purpose that they need. That doesn't serve them at all either.